Hey everyone, welcome back to Behind the Pixel, the podcast where we try to bridge the knowledge gap between those who buy creative content and those who make it. My name is Will Cologne. I'm one of the co-founders at Open Pixel Studios. We're an animation production company out in Western Massachusetts, currently traveling the country. Catherine is away at the moment. I think she's animating a dragon. Some might say she's slaying right now. This is just one of a special series of episodes on our podcast. So back in March of 2024, we were in Salt Lake City, Utah, giving a small presentation at the Salt Lake Animation Expo. During the expo, we got an amazing chance to sit down with some of the other presenters and interview them for our podcast. And just a note on these episodes, they were recorded in the back room of the presentation space. So we only had two microphones. We were trying to do our best to capture the audio as perfectly as possible from the presenter. And Catherine and I were sharing a microphone. There are some audio issues. So just keep that in mind as you listen to this one. So in today's episode, you'll hear our conversation with Chaz Walgamont. He's the owner of Digital Gravy Animation and a co-creator of the Salt Lake Animation Expo. We really wanted to start with this one since it really lays the foundation of how the expo got started. He's actually the first person we met at the expo when we parked in this really sort of dark VIP parking garage that was sort of really hard to see. And he was the first person to say hi to me and welcome me into that particular community. So thank you, Chaz, for being so humble. He's been an animation director, a graphic designer, and just overall a really thoughtful artist who's been sort of self-taught from the beginning. It was a really, really great conversation. And it just made us all a little bit closer. So without delaying any further, let's get into it.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. Happy whatever day today is. I can't really tell
Sunday.
Anymore.
Yeah, it's Sunday. Yeah. It's been a nice, calm Sunday.
Yeah, this weekend flew by, though.
It did. Yeah. But it was so good.
It was great.
Yeah, it was. Honestly, it was great to see the animation community in Utah, like, come together. Mm. Never been to Utah before. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, beautiful, but
It's also not the first place where I would imagine an expo brand to be, right?
Yeah, that's where I was going with that. Yeah, it's basically like so surprising to see how many people were here. Mm-hmm. We realized, and I think you're the first person we met coming into the building.
That's true.
Yeah, in the
parking
garage.
This is all full circle.
Yeah, full circle. Yeah. You started the Animation Expo.
I did.
Originally.
That's awesome.
And so we wanted to get just a little bit of sense. Well, first of all, for our audience who may not know you at all, why don't you introduce yourself about like who, what do you do now, following up with how did you get started or how did the Animation Expo start?
So my name's Chaz Walgamont. I'm a small animation studio owner. I focus more on the creative side of in the business. We have about 8 people right now.
Nice.
Congrats. At our largest, we were 23. We've kind of ebbed and flowed, sure you know.
Part of the times. I totally understand. Yeah.
Absolutely. I love the size we are though, right? Yeah. Now. It's been great. Yeah, we primarily do client work. We make cartoons and a lot of commercials. We started out as a motion graphics company. Mm-hmm. It was kind of my freelance motion graphics business that I did for 7 years that sort of snowballed into Digital Gravy, which we formed 6 years ago. And after a couple of years of in Digital Gravy, we kind of made a hard pivot to animation and storytelling and character-driven stuff.
Yeah.
And so I teamed up with a buddy of mine to help me just run the business side. Just help me answer emails, Alex. Like I'm drowning in emails. Like, let me do the work, the creative stuff. And can you just handle all that? And he was like, yeah, let's do it.
Nice.
So we formed Digital Gravy together, and Alex and I also formed the Animation Expo together. We went to CTNX in California 3 years ago, And it was, you know, during COVID years.
Right.
So it was a much smaller version of CTN, at least as far as I've heard. I've only been that one time.
Every time I've gone, packed.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, yeah. Like 2 hour lines to get into anything. Oh, like just wild. Yeah.
And so if we'd gone a normal year, we probably wouldn't have had this experience. But because it was so much smaller, I don't know if like Utahns just felt more comfortable traveling or something, but which wouldn't surprise me during COVID. But, more than half the people we met were all from Utah. And I just like a lot of the exhibitors, and there was tons of students from all these amazing schools we have here. And Alex and I just kept looking at each other like, why did we have to come all the way to California to meet our neighbors,
right,
you know, our talented neighbors? Like there should be something like this. And CTN was, you know, small that year. And we were like, we could do this, you know, like we could make something this size.
Right, right.
So if it was a normal year, it would have probably been more intimidating. We probably wouldn't have met as many of our neighbors, and we wouldn't have had that idea. But so, yeah, we came back. We took a year to develop the Animation Expo and expected it to just be just a small group of people here in Utah. But it had a reach that we didn't anticipate. And people came from all over the country, and it was really cool. Yeah.
We're from Massachusetts.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so cool. And so I don't own the expo anymore.
Right.
We sold it last year, to Jordan Curley, who's phenomenal. And really the first event would not have happened without her anyway.
Yeah.
Yes, I owned it, but she got almost all of our presenters, and she's just so well connected and has introduced us to so many great people. So she was just the logical person to hand it off to.
Yeah, right? That makes perfect sense.
Nice. Yeah, and she's done a great job.
Yeah.
So far. So,
so
if Jordan is listening, you should know.
Jordan's the best.
Jordan, you're killing it.
Yeah,
you're doing fantastic.
I mean, I feel like it's so cool. Yeah.
Let's shift gears a little bit. Talking about Digital Gravy, where did that name come from? Like, is it like steak potatoes or gravy? Like,
because we've talked to some owners about this in particular, just because like when we started originally, the name of the company was called Definity Video.
Okay.
And the Definity. People were like, is it Definity? Is it Divinity? Divine? Is it like what?
What's
what?
The meaning?
It didn't have clarity around
like,
it.
We're like, we want to go to the infinity, and then like, you know, definition, like, infinite definition.
Yeah. Cool.
What does that mean?
Yeah. So I'm.
It's so hard to name.
So how did you come up with your name?
Yeah, you know. So as far as the meaning behind it is, like, Alex and I wanted to something that signified that we're going to go the extra mile. Mm-hmm. We're going to add all the sprinkles, the cherry on top, all the sauce, all the fixins, all the trimmings, all the gravy, right? And we're two grizzly men. You know, cherry on top didn't quite have the right feeling, you know. Sure. But gravy, meat and potatoes. Oh, and who doesn't love Thanksgiving, right?
It's true.
So yeah, but that's the idea behind it. And my brother came up with the name, or suggested the name, actually, and it's my brother's just, he doesn't work in the creative industry, but he's just very creative and has named a lot of things that I've done, bands that I have, and other businesses.
You know, you bring up a good point though, that like, I think sometimes even with our clients, that sometimes they don't necessarily feel like they are creative, but everyone has the ability to be creative. Right. So on the client side, like, how do you tap into their creativity?
Mm. Yeah. Great question. Well, I learned from many failures that not to jump into solutions too quickly, right? Or to, in those early conversations, it's kind of like dating or courting. Like you really have to kind of get to know each other and get comfortable with each other before we're going to talk numbers and specifics. And so I really try to focus as much on a relation, like building a friendship and a relationship first. And I want to show them that I'm going to understand before I'm understood. And that's, you know, just trying to keep that in my mind. Understand before you're understood. And so I ask a lot of questions. And a lot of times they haven't thought of like reference or exactly what they want the look and feel to be. So we'll sometimes jump on the internet together and I'll say, well, what about this, right? And what about this? No, less like that. And they'll kind of guide it. Or we'll put together a few different options in a pitch deck, right? And say, you know, what feels right.
No, it's, I think to your point, like I think we try to do something similar of like just trying to make sure that the client feels like they still have say in that creative process, right? Like that their ideas are heard and respected and like, but still understood from a scope perspective and a budget perspective to be like, yeah, I totally get where you're going with this. Like, maybe this might be out of scope and here's a little bit why, but like, here's how we can still incorporate it in some way to like keep the core of what it is. Yeah. Or it's like, great, let's put it in. Yeah.
I think we're getting to a point where there's always going to be a solution to the idea of scope creep in some capacity.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that definitely goes over, but let's find a technological solution or let's find a rewrite solution or let's find a redesign solution. Like there's always going to be something we can do to try to get
sometimes
there.
Sometimes it can be a change just in like voiceover and sometimes or, it can be a change.
Yeah. Or on the opposite side of that is like, no, we really want this. Let's just pay for it.
Right.
Like, sure. That's the, you know, kind of gates opening up. So
I think at some point I realized like, oh, my creativity as an artist isn't just about being creative visually. It's also about finding creative solutions to project management and how are we going to run our business? The other thing I wanted to mention about just, you know, those early conversations with clients is I often get this from a client of, I trust you, you're the creative, you just do your thing, right? And frankly, that's the worst thing to hear from me. I want to know, where are my bounds? What are my parameters? I think beauty comes out of restriction and parameters and intentionally limiting. And so I think if potential clients are listening to this, I think that's something that we actually want to hear. It's actually, we have more creative freedom once we know our bounds of the project.
That's really interesting. 100%.
Yeah.
Would you guys agree?
I totally get that.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. There's no way that I can, because it's an infinite answer. Right.
Wait, and when you start with a blank canvas, there's a million possibilities.
But if you're talking about, okay, it's got to be this and it's got to be that, then I know, okay, let's play in that space.
Well, we have to become mind readers at that point, right? Because could they say they don't know? But I think it, deep down they do. They just don't know they know yet, right?
And they don't know how to express that.
They don't know how to. Yeah. No, they don't have the vocabulary for it, right? Because it's not the language they speak. They'd speak a totally different business language. And so there is some education there, but we get to pull that out of them, and it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun, but it's more easy for them to say, you know, you go off and you said I could do whatever I want. So I did this. And they're like, well, not that, right? That wasn't the thing. And so they know what they don't want. Right. And so learning that together.
Yeah. Yeah. That absolutely. Is a process for 100%. Sure.
Yeah. That's great. You said you went from 23 to 8. And during a tough transition, we've all had tough transitions.
Yeah.
Where did you consolidate? I'm just thinking about that structure a little bit.
I think this might be really helpful for like, there's this idea that like, especially for folks who haven't been owners, like they have this kind of idea of what they're hearing about, right? You hear about more layoffs happening here, more layoffs happening there, and not really understanding the back end structure of like, all of the emotional components that go into that, the decision making, right? Like it's one of the hardest decisions you would ever have to make in your career. Like
brutal.
So,
absolutely brutal.
Yeah. I wonder like how you approach those tough conversations. Like where does that, are there tools for that to be like, okay, there's, how has another studio done that? Or like, you know, or did you just have internal conversations and kind of figure it out?
I don't know what other studios have done. I don't know the tools. I just know what our experience was.
Yeah.
And it was extremely challenging. Again, I think I mentioned already, but my health was really poor and I had a herniated disc in my back. I couldn't get out of bed, you know. And so I was already in an emotional state. But no, I mean, those conversations are always going to be challenging and hard. And I have learned that it's best to just be honest and clear and, for lack of a better phrase, just rip the bandaid off, right? Mm-hmm. And be there to talk it out if they'd like to. And I feel like a lot of times people have wanted to know, well, why are you letting me go, right? Which is, I think, a very fair, valid question. It's just been interesting because I try to be as transparent as possible.
Yeah.
But I've also learned that they're not in the presence of mind to even hear that feedback.
That's a good
They don't really want to know. But that's anyway, that's how a lot of those conversations have gone.
Yeah.
You know, fortunately, it was never anything personal with any of our team. We kind of it's so brutal to even talk about. But we kind of divided, okay, these are the people who are going to stay because they're what we need for the current projects we have.
Right.
These are the people that we're going to have to let go. And we pulled them all into a room. We pulled all these people into a room and we told them, here's what's going on.
Yeah.
And then, but I had the luck of talking to the people that were staying just telling them, you know what, these guys are going to need support and love. Right. And so it was a very kind of cathartic experience to go through together of, I'm sorry we couldn't make this work, but we do love you guys. And there was a lot of hugs, a lot of tears.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that touched me the most is how much love I felt from the employees we did let go and how much they understood and how much they cared about what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And some of them have even come back on the team, and which has been awesome. And
I appreciate the transparency. Yeah. And I think that there was a theme of conversation that was happening at the expo here, kind of in relation to this, where, you know, Ron talked about it even this morning, where he was saying that, you know, as animators and creatives in this particular field that we're in, we're being hired for the particular project at that moment in time, right? Yeah. It's right place, right time in terms of getting on.
Mm-hmm.
And just like an actor would, right? An actor.
I was going to go there. Exactly.
And an actor auditions for projects, and then they get hired for that project for a couple days, and then they move on. And like, that's really what our industry is kind of like.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So like, it makes sense that you're focused on like, this is the project we have, this is the creative need we have. And like, that's the nature of the business.
Yeah. Right place, right time.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it's hard, I think, even as owners, for us to accept that. Cause it's like, you know, we would love to be able to like keep everyone on for everything at all times.
Yeah,
and like,
exactly.
It's just kind of the nature of the beast, so to speak. So
yeah, I think what I got from that talk was, we got to find a different source of income. Right? Like
as business owners?
Yeah, exactly.
Or like some
as
kind of
owners,
like structure.
We're saying like, okay, we're going to do this kind of work because these people are willing to pay for it right now. But that's not the only audience who's willing to pay for it.
Right.
And I think we have to think outside the box to see what other possibilities there are for people doing this kind of work. It's not only applicable, I'm a huge proponent in this, it's not only applicable to entertainment. And I think that's something that most artists want to get into. They want to entertain with their artwork. But in the back of their heads, they're also saying, well, I also want to tell my own stories.
Right.
And my own stories aren't necessarily entertaining. They're about something else. They're about something I care about.
Right.
And everybody has something they care about. Okay. Let's extrapolate that across the people who have dollars. The people who have dollars have things that they care about.
Sure.
Try to find the alignment.
And they're willing to put their dollars where they care.
Yeah.
So there might be some other model there that
is
more aligned to, it's like a values-based system. Where instead of an entertainment-based system. Right.
I see what you mean.
So
yeah, I'm curious where like in the work that you're doing, like where you said you kind of transitioned at one point, the work that you did kind of shifted from motion graphics to entertainment sort of based, and even working on your own original projects, right?
Right.
So like, how did that shift happen? And like, you know, did that come from just seeing the market kind of shift, or did that come from like, you're at a stage of, you know, what do we want to do? And like, what's our passion?
Yeah, no, more the second.
That's awesome.
I think, I was doing motion graphics. Alex, my business partner, came on and helped me run the business. But he was also very much a creative mind and very much a storyteller, even more so than myself. And so he always had this draw towards let's tell stories. Like, there's more passion and feeling and an opportunity to connect with people and to share values. And and that was really important to him. And he took the charge, and I was like, I love it, man. Let's go for it. So really he gets the credit for that shift. And in some ways, you know, it's been a super rewarding shift, but also a much more challenging shift. I think financially, we didn't do it for financial reasons.
Right.
It was more totally out of understand. Passion.
Yeah. But that's where we all come from, right? Yeah. As artists, we always start being like, we're going to make a studio, but also we really want to tell our own stories make it shine in some way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. People connect with stories. And it was really important, you know, Alex and I both have young kids, and it was important for us to be making something that we would want our kids to have access to, something that was wholesome and family oriented and shared values, and was a positive influence, you know?
Yeah. I think I've been hearing that more and more from owners, especially even at this expo, that the types of content that we want to make are things that provide a net positive into the world.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know if that just comes from us looking at the news every day and seeing all everything that's happening and just being like, you know what? I want to do something more for my future generations or for my kids or for wherever that comes from. There's just this feeling, I think collectively, that we're like, where can we provide a bigger positive impact in the world, so to speak?
I mean, it's cool. I think that that's a pushback to what has been going on, you know, AI or whatever, new technology, affecting our industry.
Yeah.
Then also doing a lot of entertainment or stuff that maybe we don't believe in, or, you know, and exacerbated by COVID because we all sort of had to go inside and kind of think about what we're doing as we're doing it, because we're at home. Now we're doing this, you know, in a confined space where I'm supposed to be safe. Now I'm not safe here either.
Right. So
now I have to struggle with that.
Totally.
That's fine. It's interesting.
I wanted to switch gears a little bit to the artists and thinking about getting into the industry. Like, how, you know, there's a lot of freelancers, there's a lot of artists, there's a lot of students at this expo who are trying to move into maybe a small studio like ours. Mm-hmm. Or even the big studios like Disney, Pixar, DreamWorks.
Yeah.
And as I think those two versions are different, right? Like, those bigger studios have pipelines for HR. They know what they're looking for specifically. You know what I mean? Like, they have things in place. Yeah. Where our studios are like,
hi, I'm HR and I'm also marketing and I'm also
finance.
Yeah, exactly.
So, coming at it from the small studio level, what is it that you usually look for in a candidate? And I know, obviously, you had just a downsize, so you obviously maybe aren't hiring right now. But the idea of what would you look for in a candidate ideally?
Just a little bit about my background. I'm self-taught. I don't have any formal training. I didn't go to school for this, for business or for animation. Never worked in a large studio. So I don't really know how it goes. So I only have my own experience to draw from. But if I were to hire somebody tomorrow, it would be because they fill a need that we have. And right now we've made a shift to a new software that's not as well known, at least in this area, Toon Boom Harmony.
Sure. Yeah.
And so we need Toon Boom Harmony people, because that's what we've kind of hitched our cart to. And so if I find somebody who has the skills to illustrate and also animate and maybe understands some rigging, right? And somebody who can fill a few different roles and hats, is that's the perfect candidate for us right now.
That's true, though, because I think I've been trying to tell students during the portfolio reviews that are happening here that the smaller the studio is, the more having a little bit of a couple departments under your belt is so vital for us, right? Because it's especially if you're working on multiple projects at a time, you have different needs, you're at different timelines in those productions. And so you're oh, you're telling me you can animate on this thing. And then when you're done with that, you can rig on this one. And then you can also illustrate for this future project.
Oh, so great.
Please be and then those are skills that you can still help to train and build up those skills along the way throughout the production. So
And for a small studio, that's got to be a huge part of your pipeline is education, right?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. And I'll add to that. So if you're on the animation side, if you're a student and you're thinking about marketing or the business or the business side, that still applies, right?
Yes,
someone who can work in the marketing department and also maybe a little bit of HR, maybe a little bit of sales. that's all communication in different ways.
So, yeah. Yeah. That makes me think of a question that, like, have you ever, like, hired somebody on the business side at all that, like, knew more than you about the business side?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because we
all of them.
About this, like, yeah, I would like. I want to be able to hire. I need to hire a marketing person at some point, but I want that marketing person to know way more than I do because that's their role. And right. So, I'm curious how you navigate that sort of like difference in knowledge. Like, did you ever feel intimidated by that? Or
not,
like,
on the business side? I never. Yeah. I've never seen myself as a businessman, even though I've owned several businesses. So I've always seen myself much more as a creative, and I think I have had challenges finding people that I trust or see that, okay, they have more skills than I do, in these creative aspects. I think it's been hard to find those people, but finding them has been, I feel like I'm starting to, and it's really exciting to me. And it is, it's still hard to let go, but it's really fun when you're like, oh, yes, I just go for it.
Right. Once you see it, you're like, yeah, please just do all the things. That's amazing. Yeah.
Absolutely. And we've been able to hire amazing kids right out of schools. BYU, UVU is now focusing just on Toon Boom Harmony, which is so great for us. It's like perfect timing. So we have this kind of funnel into our company.
Yeah, that kind of ties into this idea that I think we've focused on a little bit too, of like building local community and what that means. And like, because we both went to school at this area called the Five Colleges, where there were literally five colleges, and you had the ability to, as a student, take any class at any of the five colleges.
Whoa, that's really cool.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, that's how we met. We were two
still
different colleges.
You still get the degree from the college you went to.
Yes.
Okay. But
there's just more opportunities.
Exactly. Yeah, like there were animation classes over at his college, so I would pop over there and take the animation classes and then come back.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And
that's
so,
how,
like,
we met.
Yeah, and cool. So I think it's like, but there's something to that idea of, like, now we're trying to find, like, how can we tap into that creative pool that's right there, that's like right next door, and be able to support our alma maters and be able to, like, bring on that creative talent to be able to support them. Like, we, you know, we've always thought about that idea of, like, you know, when students come out of college, they look at those entry level jobs and it's like, you must have 3 years of experience. And you're like, okay, well, what, how do I go get that?
Right.
So, but if we could be that gap between, to be like, yeah, we'll give you your first, like, 1 to 3 years. And if you want to stay on after that, cool. Yeah. If you want to move on and go, you know, pursue that bigger dream, also cool. Like, we want to support. So I'm curious if you've, like, tapped into that network, or, like, you've thought about how to build community here in that way.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Aside from the animation.
Right. That's one big way to do it. Yes.
Sure. Yeah. Right. We have these amazing schools, and we've been able to hire a lot of students out of the BYU animation program. Those kids come out knowing so much, and they're so well trained, and it's been awesome to just have them just dive in and just go.
Right.
And UVU's program is newer and up and coming, and they're about to have their first kind of year of graduates specifically what we do, and it's exciting. But yeah, so we've started developing relationships with the professors there, right? And I haven't done much of this, but while I've been here, I've realized I need to be at the school. Mm-hmm. We used to have a physical studio, and the students used to come to us, but we no longer have a physical studio.
Right.
So I need to go to them. I need to be in the schools. Yep. I need to be talking to the students. Mm-hmm. And I've done it a little bit, but their senior projects are coming up where they're about to screen their films. And I want to be there. I want to go support them. I want to know who worked on what. Mm-hmm. Right. And really get to know the students that way. And so I'm actually really excited.
Yeah. That's going to be really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've done similar trying to give talks. I mean, you've given back in literally teaching classes at the college.
Yeah. I went back to my alma mater, taught some classes during COVID, but also before. And that was just a privilege that we were both taught by Chris Perry, who's a former Pixar alum.
Okay.
And he developed Fire on A Bug's Life, among other things.
Wow.
The very first, you know, Fire.
Very lucky
thing.
To work with him.
So cool.
But he just gave me the opportunity. He saw something that obviously I could, you know, help others along. And that's been really fun. You do a lot of mentoring for a lot of organizations.
Yeah, try to do that as much as we can.
Women in Animation.
Rise Up Animation.
Rise Up Animation.
But there's it's so interesting for like folks coming into the industry, whether they're like just transitioning from a different career into animation or they're coming up as a student, like there's so much more opportunity in terms of like education and mentorship and like connection to across like the country than there ever was, right? Like I feel like because I'm reflecting on the 90s now, it's like, you know, back in the day, we used to have to like fly to LA to make any kind of connection happen across the land, the land. Right. Yeah. But yeah, it feels like, yeah. Do you feel that now as well? That like when you're talking to students or you're trying to, even in giving opportunities for your team, for your employees, like, do you find that they're finding new avenues to make connections with?
Just with the awesome tools we have today, it's great. Yeah, internet connections are getting better, and yes.
Always helpful.
Yeah, it's still a struggle, absolutely. And it's shifting to being a remote team has been a big challenge.
Yeah,
but there's some pros and some cons. Mm-hmm. So my team uses Discord, and there's fun. There's fun games on there, right? Yeah, we play games together.
We've
and
done that with our intern.
That's cool. Yeah, I love it. And as far as, meeting with clients and stuff, yeah, absolutely. We're kind of at this exciting time where it's much easier. Mm-hmm. And COVID kind of, I think, thrust us into that faster than we would have gotten here normally.
That's fair. Yeah. Have you had the distinct, like, interesting idea of, like, having clients that we like had never actually seen either in person or even on camera, like we've just done through email.
Yeah, we were remote from the start.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so we were doing Zoom. We like to think we were doing Zoom before it was cool.
Yeah,
it's never
Zoom hipster.
Yeah, exactly. So when the pandemic hit, we like it didn't really touch us that much, you know, because it was like it was already
you were
set
ready
up.
For it.
Yeah,
but it is interesting.
But it is there. You said pros and cons. There's so many pros to being in person, obviously.
Right.
If I were trying to get you on a Zoom from Massachusetts,
right,
I don't think you probably was like, who's this guy?
Well, there's not that personal connection, right? That human connection. And it is a lot harder. But I love this expo because I've gotten to meet some of the clients that I've been working with that I've never even seen their face. Yeah. It's been so great. I can give them a hug and be like, oh my goodness. Yeah. Finally.
You know, and then it connects in the industry level because like some of the people that are here, I haven't seen in like a decade.
Right. Oh,
and
really?
Yeah.
That's cool. You guys are seeing people.
Yeah. The person, Ron, who talked earlier. I worked with him at my first animation job.
Way.
Yeah, like a decade ago.
And like through this conversation, we found out I was working on a project that he was working on.
Oh,
and I just didn't know that he was on some other side of it. Yeah.
So it's like little things like that just make a big difference, I think, in the industry.
Totally.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
In the interest of time, I don't want to keep going. Like, we stole you from a booth.
That's true.
it's been a slower day. I'm totally fine.
It's super true. All right. If people want to be able to reach out to you and follow you and connect with you and connect with your studio, how would they go about doing that?
For sure. Yeah. So smellthegravy.com is the website.
Excellent. Love it.
And the reason we named it that is for that reaction, right? Yeah. smellthegravy.com and our socials are digitalgravy.animation on Instagram. Nice. We're not the best at social media.
Please, we're not either. Don't worry. Well, which is so funny because like as creatives, it's like, oh, we could make creative social media posts.
I know, right?
We don't get the time.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
It's so hard.
It's hard to make that a priority.
It's true.
Especially if the work's coming in, you know, and things are good, then it's hard to put the time into that, but it is important.
Yeah. But it's always great to meet a fellow owner and like just be able to like be honest with each other and sit and like, and find ways to, you know, collaborate in the future. Who knows?
Totally.
You know? Who knows if we're working on a big movie together someday?
That would be amazing.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. It's been great to get to know you guys. And I'd love to chat again. I'm an open book. It's really fun to just dig in.
We'll have a part two for sure. Thank you for taking the time.
You bet. Awesome. This has been fun.
Awesome. Thank you.
A big thank you as always to E Media for producing this podcast. Our producer is Jackson Foote. Our music is created by Hidden and licensed through premiumbeat.com. And as always,
stay honest,
stay creative,
stay open.
OpenPixel Studios. Thanks. We'll see you in the next episode.